Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Esprit.net News.
I want to get the language right tonight.
This is America. The president is
don't ever let anybody tell you that your efforts don't matter.
This is not a war zone. These are unarmed people.
Politicians and commentators.
Don't let anybody take your man.
Does that remind you that I've done this before?
It doesn't make you tough to hurt these people.
You have tuned into Independent Thought Radio, where we cover world and national news with current affairs. Some good, some bad, but it's all the news you need to know. I'm your host, Jerome Esprit, bringing you straight talk outside the headlines. So sit back and relax, call in, or hit us up in chat. Now, as long as you're ready, we're ready. Welcome again to Esprit.net News on Esprit Radio. This is where you get a week's worth of news in just one setting. I'm your host, Jerome. And again, for those who are not familiar with our show, you know, we're here every Thursday, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, to deliver some news. Now, if this, again, is your first time, you can always check us out in the archives at EspritRadio.SoulOfSyracuse.com. If you're here live or if you're listening to archives, you can check us out live. Area code 323-693-3038. Now, before I start the show, I just want to say today the president, today August 4th, is the president's 55th birthday. And if you just want to know some facts, or I guess historical facts, on the 44th president of the United States, President Barack Obama. He was married to his wife, the First Lady Michelle, and she's the mother of his two daughters, and they've been married for nearly 24 years. So I wanted to start off the show with information about the president. Today is the president's birthday. Now, our first story. U.S. private employers add 179,000 jobs in July, thus above economist expectations. That's what the report from the payroll processors show this week. Now, the numbers come out probably tomorrow on the overall, but again, we are talking, I guess our number is, let me do a nice little drum roll for this. Let's see. Okay, so we're at about 77 straight months of private sector job growth, and it is the most ever since they've been creating records. So we're at 77 months of straight private sector job growth for those people who are going to come back later and talk about, you know, we're in the political season, so if you want to talk about how bad of a job the president has done, just kind of add that to your numbers. Now, oil edged higher this week towards $42 a barrel on Wednesday after hitting its lowest since April. That's the previous it was the previous day that it hit the lowest since April. It's supported by an industry report that shows a fall in U.S. inventories and a weak dollar. Now, oil rallied from a 12-year near low of $27 a gallon in January to a 2016 high of almost $53 in June. So, hey, again, $27 a barrel was the high of 2016, but it was $53 in June. So here we go. Now, again, for historical references, when President Obama took office, oil prices were high, and oil was nearly, you know, getting close to, I want to say, kind of $60, $70 a barrel. So they were crazy at that point. Now, weekly applications for U.S. home mortgages fell at their lowest level in 5 months, even as borrowing costs declined. The Mortgage Bankers Association set its seasonally adjusted index for mortgage activities for home purchases, the leading indicator for home sales. It fell about 2% in the week ending July 29th to its lowest level since late February. Now, 30-year loan rates hit a more than three-year low last month, so people who are in that market, it is time. I guess the prices are going down. Now, a report nicknamed the annual physical for the planet, for planet Earth, broke dozens of climate records. Now, soon after 2015 ended, it was proclaimed the hottest on record. The new report shows the broad extent of other records and near records on the planet's climate health. You know, that's what it does. Those include record heat energy absorbed by the ocean and the lowest underground water storage levels globally. That's according to the report that was released on Tuesday from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. About 450 scientists from around the world helped write the report, and the NOAA highlighted one of the lesser-known measurements, the ocean heat content. Now, that's about 93% of the heat energy trapped by greenhouse gases such as carbon dioxide from burning coal, oil, and gas. They said that that goes directly into the ocean, and the report also said that the ocean heat content, I guess, hit a record levels both near the surface and in the deep. So our oceans are warming up. That's the, if you want to check that out, you can check that out. But it's from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, if you want to check that report out. Now, NBC plans to broadcast more than 6,750 hours of coverage through the Olympics in Rio, but some events, including the opening ceremonies, will be delayed and broadcast at prime time. Now, the International Olympic Committee, they also had a review panel that announced that two-thirds of the Russian athletes are eligible. That's 271 Russian athletes are eligible to compete in the Rio Games, and that figure could grow still, as it, I guess they're saying 118 could appeal. So we know the Olympics has already started, but the opening ceremonies aren't until tomorrow, but they can still appeal. That's 118 people. Ooh, they're cutting it close to the corner, I guess. Now, a Florida-based company won a U.S. government permission, on Wednesday to send a robotic lander to the moon next year. Now, the firm's founder said, it's marking the first time the U.S. has cleared for a private space mission to fly beyond Earth's orbit. There we go. Now, I just want to remind you, you're listening to EsperyNet News on Espery Radio. You can call in and join us. Area code 323-693-3038. This is where you'll get a week worth of news in just one setting. I'm your host, Jerome. And, again, you can catch us in the archives at espryradio.soulofsyracuse.com. Or you can write us at news@soulofsyracuse.com. Either one. Now, the president delivered a stern warning to his successors that would be all of the presidential candidates, but mainly to the Republican challenger, which is Donald Trump, and the Democratic challenger, which is Hillary Clinton. Now, he said that he's warning his successors about classified information, warning that they better start acting like president if they want to get security briefings. So I think the president is pretty much telling them both that he's not going to clear their security briefings until they become more responsible on the campaign trail. Now, I don't remember any president actually saying that, but I don't remember two candidates being so flawed. So there you have it. President Obama is not playing. I guess he's saying grow up or you're not getting the briefings. Now, President Obama also this week on Wednesday cut short and commuted sentences for 214 federal inmates, including 67 life sentences, and what the White House called the largest batch of commutations on a single day in more than a century. Now, almost all the prisoners were serving time for nonviolent drug crimes, reflecting the president's longstanding view that the United States needs to remedy the consequences of decades of sentencing requirements that put tens of thousands of Americans behind bars for far too long. Now, the president has commuted 562 sentences during his presidency. That's more than the past nine presidents combined, is what the White House said. Almost 200 of those who have benefited from serving life sentences. Now, most of those receiving commutations will be released on December 1st, 2016. So they are released, but they won't be eligible, or I guess they won't be released till December 1st. Now, the president this week is also touting strides in reducing homelessness among military veterans as his administration reaches the halfway point in building a massive database of veterans' health. Now, overall veterans' homelessness has been cut nearly in half by 47%, although that's still short of his long-held goal of getting it to zero. Now, credit also goes to the First Lady, Michelle Obama, and Vice President Joe Biden's wife, Jill, for using their initiative on military families to challenge mayors and county officials nationwide to end veterans' homelessness. The White House released a statement about this, and 500,000 veterans have voluntarily given blood samples and health data for long-term government research programs that seek to enroll 1 million veterans as part of the president's initiative to make what he called precise medicine and or tailored treatment a reality. So not only did he work on the homeless problem for veterans, he's also still recruiting veterans to volunteer and give samples. So there you go on some other activities going on in the White House. And one more, you know, on the eve of his 55th birthday, which is today, he was greeted with the song of Happy Birthday on Wednesday by 1,000 participants at this year's Young Africans Leadership Summit in Washington. The president launched the Young Africans Leadership Initiative 6 years ago to support an emerging generation of young African entrepreneurs, activists, and public officials. Its flagship program, the Mandela Washington Fellowship, began 2 years ago with the goal of empowering young Africans through academic coursework, leadership training, and networking. So the president said, "Today's Africa is the place of unprecedented prosperity and opportunities," is what he told the crowd. He noted that he visited sub-Saharan Africa 4 times. That's more than any other U.S. president. Now, the young African leaders convened in Washington after 6 weeks of academic study and leadership training at nearly 40 institutions of higher education across the United States. Participants held a chance, had a chance to sharpen their skills through coursework and professional development in business and entrepreneurship, civic leadership, and public management. So, again, some of the things that we normally don't report on, but the president actually did, you know, convene his leadership, his Young African Leadership Summit in Washington again. Now, the White House and First Lady are celebrating their 50th anniversary. We're celebrating the 50th anniversary of U.S. diplomatic relationships with Singapore. That also happened this week. The Singaporean Prime Minister has urged the United States to maintain their indispensable role in Asia-Pacific and ratify the Trans-Pacific partnership free trade deal, but I'm not going to make a comment on that. I'm just going to say, hey, that's what they were talking about when as they were here. Now, U.S. health insurer Banner Health has written to 3.7 million customers and healthcare providers to warn that their data may have been stolen after a cyber attack. Now, I'm not familiar with Banner Health, but if you have them in your area, you might want to contact them and see what they're doing to rectify the situation. Now, I also know that they're doing what everybody else does, you know, with the Target breach and all of those guys. They're saying that they will pay for your year of free credit monitoring, but I don't know what to tell you. But, again, Banner Health has been hacked. All right, now just days ahead of the Olympic Games, the waterways of Rio de Janeiro are as filthy as ever, contaminated with raw human sewage, teeming with dangerous viruses and bacteria. That's according to a 16-month-long study commissioned by the Associated Press. Not only are some of the 1,400 athletes at risk of getting violently ill in the water, in water competitions, but the tests indicate that tourists also face potentially serious health risks on the golden beaches of the Copacabana and others. Now, the survey of aquatic Olympics and Paralympic venues has revealed consistent and dangerously high levels of viruses from pollutants and a major black eye for the Rio Olympics project that set off alarms among sailors and rowers and other open water swimmers. They're telling them, do not, when you're swimming, try not to get in the water in your mouth. So I don't know how that's going to work, but anyway, I just thought I'd do that as a public service announcement. Now that the Olympics has already started officially, hey, couldn't get to the show sooner. All right, I just wanted to remind you, listen to Esprit Net News on Esprit Radio. I see the commissioner is on, so let's go to the phone lines and bring in the commish. Kathleen, how are you?
Oh, I'm good, Groom. How you doing?
I'm good. You know, I don't know where to begin with this because I know, since it's the president's birthday and all, I had to do a lot of presidential stories, so I had to get those out of the way. Because, you know, people...
And good one, too.
Yeah, well, here's the thing, is that in our new political season of the crazies, I think that people are missing the boat at all of the accomplishments. So it's good that he's still working and accomplishing things that people have never done before. But I also think it's going to make us all depressed a little bit more when he's not here anymore. That's all.
And, you know, I listened to his speech live today on NPR radio. He gave the speech today before he left on summer holiday, and it was amazing to listen to all of what he's done, you know, and just, you know, the fact that he's still working on his birthday, you know.
Right.
It was really pretty impressive, and talking about ISIL and the various attacks and what's being done. How we're, pushing them back from the various places that they've been taking over and trying to take over. And he also talked about that $400 million that went to Iran that everybody's trying to say that was a ransom. And, you know, it was just really good to listen to him. And while I was listening, it just did bring up that same feeling that you're talking about now. It's like, oh, my goodness, what have we done? What have
we done? The grown up is about to leave the room.
Leave the building.
You know, no matter how much we prepare for this, it's just not gonna help, is it?
Yeah, nope.
Yeah.
I'm afraid not. And the way he just breaks everything down so it's clear. You know, there's no guessing what he's talking about. You know, it's not a talking over your head kind of thing. just really clear. Matter of fact, this is what we're doing. In case you didn't know X, Y, Z,
right.
I can not only give you the speech about what we're doing, but I can also catch you up to speed in about 30 seconds. So we don't make this, you know. Yeah, exactly. You don't have to have an advanced degree in terrorism or military science in order to understand what the heck I'm talking about.
Right. Right. Again, we're going to miss having such a smart president. We have not had one this smart ever, and it is going to be blaringly obvious in a minute on how, you know, inept our actual politicians are. I hate to say that, but it's just so doggone sad. All right. Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. Now,
the other thing go ahead.
No, you're good. Go ahead.
I was going to say the other thing that I thought was really interesting, same NPR again, they interviewed a journalist from Germany, and the interviewer mentioned to this gentleman how do Germans feel about Trump, because he is of German descent. You know, and it's like,
right.
do you all claim him? And he's like, oh, absolutely not. We do not claim him. He doesn't acknowledge his German ancestry, and we don't acknowledge him. And then they were asking, well, how do you feel about him possibly becoming the commander-in-chief? And he says, we really don't understand this whole political process that's going on in America anyway. We don't get this guy and how he's gone so far. And then he said, and it's up, you know, anybody who was asked, why can't I use the nuclear weapons, is not somebody that we want to see in charge of America.
Yes. And that's why the statement that the president made today, I mean, I don't know if he talked about this in his press conference, but he did release a statement that he warned both of them. And this would be in more towards Donald Trump than anybody else, but he delivered this warning to his successors about classified information, and he warned them that they better start acting like a president if they want to get security briefings. I don't think he's going to allow the security briefings until they both settle down and stop running off at the mouth, because we're in kind of crucial times. And so the president actually said that today. That they're not going to get their security briefings until they start acting better. Isn't that sad? Now, I've never heard that in all of years of politics. I've never heard a president say that to presidential candidates, but we've never had two horribly flawed candidates and one that's childlike. So I don't think they're going to give Donald Trump security briefings. I think that's what his signal was.
Right. Right. And the thing that, you know, even just passing Trump, you have to say, now, wait a minute, this woman was Secretary of State. Doesn't she?
She's already had security briefings before. But I think he was just kind of putting that back out there for both of them, just because he was just saying, you guys need to stay focused and start getting on the task of, instead of the personality stuff. I mean, this stuff benefits Clinton like crazy, but at the same time, the Republicans are just too doggone unstable to get security briefings, because Donald Trump will say anything. So you don't know, and he's not really caring about the setup. If he thinks he's going to lose, he's going to crash and burn everything. So I just thought that was interesting, but the president was clear that he's not doing it. You're not getting security briefings. Not going to happen. Just thought I'd throw that out there.
It's hilarious.
Which, I know, that is hilarious to me, too. I keep laughing about that because I'm like, never heard it, but he's like, grow up, because you're not getting them. All right, now, the University of Texas at Austin held a memorial this week to mark their 50th anniversary of the University of Texas Tower mass shooting on their state's campus. Now, this, their 50th anniversary, marks the new law that comes in effect in Texas that allows students to carry concealed guns on campus.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here we go. Students age 21 or older, 21 or over is how they said it, who have concealed handgun permits may take their guns into the classroom under the new law. Texas has now become one of 8 states that allow students to carry guns into college buildings. So Texas private schools and 2-year community colleges are excluded from the new laws until next year. But that is the dumbest thing I think I've ever, well, again, like people in other countries, they don't know what the heck we're doing over here because we don't know why they're doing what they're doing here. Get the craziest people. All right. Now, New York City Police Commissioner Bill Bratton, he's going to step down in September. So Mayor Bill de Blasio announced his retirement this week. Protesters linked to Black Lives Matter called for him to be fired on Monday. More than 100 people gathered at a rally in New York City to protest against what they called a racial bias by police. And by Tuesday, they announced that he was retiring. So, hey, see ya, wouldn't want to be ya. See, I feel really sympathetic towards that. But NYPD top uniform officer, Chief James O'Neill, who's also white, will be replacing Bill Bratton. Now, I didn't put that in there. That was actually in a news story because they said who is white. They just had to make it known that even though they protest, they still have no diversity at the top in New York City's police department. Okay. All right, now,
and
I don't know if you heard the story.
The thing that I thought was horrible was he gave this whole speech about, you know, how crime is down in New York and, you know, crime is down, murders are down, this is down, that's down, you know, muggings and blah, 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 blah. And he just kind of skips right over the fact that, you know, we probably have had 100% more slashings this year alone than in previous years. Skips over the fact that a woman was just murdered in the park last night. You know, skips over all kind of stuff talking about
It's an inconvenient story, apparently.
Yeah, and I was like, okay, and don't even mention the issues with, New York City police and the communities of color, which is part of the reason why you have this job, and you're just going to ignore that completely. Just ignore it. And I'm like, oh,
Well. Yeah, don't worry about that. That shouldn't matter, right? Just
thinking
ignore it.
That, you know, the whole community policing thing will, should, we don't have to address it specifically. We'll just say community policing. But the communities that they're talking about are not the black community. That's just not the communities that they're referencing. They're talking about Howard Beach and, you know, other communities where they say community policing.
Right, and like I said, it's one of those things that always drives me crazy with hearing political speeches because, of course, they skip over whatever it is that is, like the convenience, for the convenience of everything, they skip over truth that way. It's like, in these neighborhoods, here's what's going on. Those neighborhoods, we just kind of ignore them. Unless we want to make some bad stats or something, you know. You know, by the way, and Black Lives Matter coalitions are calling for reparations and end of mass incarceration. So a coalition of more than 60 organizations affiliated with the Black Lives Matter movement has issued a list of demands calling for policing and criminal justice reform. And on that note, you know, a former Virginia police officer, I talked about this last week in the show, who was convicted last Thursday of killing an unarmed 18-year-old suspect who was suspected of shoplifting at Walmart. Jurors found him guilty, Stephen Rankin, who's 36. They found him guilty of voluntary manslaughter. Now, I don't know how many years this is going to bring, but they finally convicted an officer of killing somebody. And this is the guy who said, this is my second one, when he killed them.
Mm-hmm.
So he was, and they were trying to get that thrown out, by the way. They were like, we don't want the jury to hear that he said to a Walmart employee when he shot the unarmed kid, oh, this is my second one. They tried to get that thrown out. Now, in other police news, closed circuit TV showed a police officer getting physical with a social worker that he pulled over in a traffic violation after she called 911 for a second officer. So this woman was 28. She was black, obviously, charged with resisting arrest. And I say obviously because she called 911 for a second officer, and then the officer tended to get physical with her. So she was charged with resisting arrest.
She called for a second officer. What, I don't understand.
Yes. Well, she got pulled over, and apparently the officer was being a little belligerent and crazy. So she called 911 while she was pulled over for another officer to come on the scene. And while that was going on, the officer pulled her out of the car. She was fighting with the officer. So they arrested her. They arrested her for resisting arrest. She spent 2 days in jail, but is fighting the charges because a video of what really happened during the traffic stop was released this week. So while she was pulled over, they were actually on film, so she can resist arrest when they had no reason to arrest her. So she's fighting those charges. But that was actually released today.
My God.
I know.
Where was that?
I know. That was in, oh, gosh, I want to say it was Virginia. But I didn't even write, okay, I'll have to grab the exact jurisdiction that was. But her name is Eldrica White. She's 28, if you want to look at that up. Drake White, 28. But after she called 911, the officer got rough with her just because she called for another officer, which you should do. You can ask to see someone's supervisor. All right. Now, newly crowned Miss Teen USA, Carly Hay of Texas, came under fire this week for using racial slurs on social media. Like, after winning the pageant on Saturday, people pointed this out with screenshots from her Twitter that she used the N-word multiple times on her personal Twitter from 2013 to 2014. Now, she said, I had many personal struggles and found myself in a place that is not representative of who I am, and I admit of having used the language publicly in the past for which I am not proud, and there is no excuse for, through hard work and education, and thanks in large part to my sisterhood that I've come to know through the pageants, I am proud to say that I'm a better person today. Now, they won't strip her of her title because of this, but she is using the excuse that she was young and she was just using the N-word to fit in. Now, fit in with who? A whole nother story. All right. Did you hear that story, Kathleen?
She used it to fit in. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, yeah. She was using the N-word to fit in. She didn't say fit in amongst who, but she was trying to fit in. All right. Now, George Zimmerman, again, I'm going to start doing a segment that people are fed up. But George Zimmerman has been punched in the face while at a restaurant in Sanford, Florida. I can't believe he went back to Sanford. By a man who accused him of bragging about killing Trayvon Martin. Somebody actually went and punched him in the face.
Wait, what?
Okay.
What happened?
George Zimmerman was in a restaurant, and someone who accused him of bragging about killing Trayvon Martin went and punched him in the face. So I guess the man was detained. I don't know if anybody was arrested because of it, but it was an altercation at a restaurant. And apparently the altercation wasn't and George Zimmerman's favor for getting punched in the face. Just
okay.
wanted to put that out there again. Now, you know, the Charleston church shooter, Dylan Roof, he was attacked in the jail shower by an inmate, but he refused to press charges. Now, Dylan Roof, who is white, is charged for the Emmanuel AME church massacre that mm-hmm. in South Carolina. And they said he was assaulted today by a fellow inmate. I'm not going to even say his name, who is black. Now, the 26-year-old who actually did this ran down the stairs from his cell after Roof went into the shower and hit him, bruised his face and back, according to the police report. Okay, well, that was just a public service announcement. I don't have no commentary on that. Just a public service announcement. George Zimmerman and Dylan Roof. Punched in the face, punched in the face. Public service, that is all.
The chickens.
We should do a segment called "The Chickens." When the chickens come home.
Yeah.
All right. Yep. Now, Michael Douglas's drug addicted son Cameron was released from prison after 7 years inside for dealing meth. So Cameron Douglas, who's the oldest child of actor Michael Douglas, was freed from his arrest in 2009 police found him with almost a pound of methamphetamines in a New York City hotel. But he did 7 years. Just want to say that kind of went fast because I do remember when he got arrested. Huh?
That's interesting.
Yeah, because normally, you know, they get out like with the quickness. Like that's interesting enough. He just did. All right, now I missed these stories before, and I have like four more, but I'm not going to do them on this show because I have two more of these. Now, a 9-year-old boy accidentally shoots his 5-year-old brother to death after a mother leaves him alone to attend to an elderly neighbor across the street. Now, the victim of the shooting, which happened outside of New Orleans, has been identified as a 5-year-old. I'm not going to say his name. His mother, who was 29 years old. And so we had one shooting here. Another boy, 11, accidentally shoots his 12-year-old friend to death and injures another boy. Police said the three boys were playing with a gun and a residence in Coward, South Carolina on Tuesday when it was accidentally triggered. Now, there were like 3 or 4 more stories of children, like really young age, 8, 10, 5, shooting someone else or shooting themselves. It's really, the last 2 weeks have been crazy, but there's at least 7 stories that we have in that. We're just not doing them all today. That was all for this week. Now, a high school secretary, huh? What do you want to say?
That's just crazy.
It is.
It's crazy. Now, the 9-year-old who shot his little brother, that was an accident?
Yes.
With mother.
Yeah, they were both accidents. They were just playing with guns.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he didn't do it. There was no intent.
Did he kill his brother?
No.
Okay, thank
no,
God.
He did shoot him, though. I know. Yeah, there was a little good news in that. The other stories, they didn't turn out so well, but he shot his brother, but he didn't kill him. Now, a high school secretary and Zumba instructor, 32, arrested for having sex with 2 male students, Laura Bowling of South Carolina, has been charged with 5 counts of sexual activity with a student after the mother of one of the alleged victims uncovered suggestive text on her son's phone. Now, an English teacher, this is a different one, who pled guilty to sexual assault after having sex with a 16-year-old student during her husband's bachelor party, then sent the teen selfies from their honeymoon. Now, Sarah Domeries, 28, done this story before. She pled guilty to 2 felony charges of sexual assault of a student by a school staff today. Now, she faces up to 12 years in jail when she's sentenced on September 30th. But she was criminally charged in April, I remember doing the story, but pled not guilty then. She claimed that she only hugged the student when they met outside of the school, but court documents says she began a relationship with the 16-year-old at New Berlin High School. And that is, oh, gosh, I think that was in Connecticut, New Berlin. All right, so just wanted to do that story. Now, Canada's biggest polygamist, Winston Blackmore, 59, has 27 wives and 145 children. He says that he don't want polygamy legalized over fears that it could lead to exploitation of women. Okay, 27 wives, 145 children. Now, he is being prosecuted by the Canadian government for polygamy, and he was charged in 2007 with polygamy, but those charges were dismissed. Now, he was then charged again in 2014, but no trial date has been set. Now, Blackmore said that he and his wives are officially friends, adding that despite them being friends, they still charge us with polygamy, and he told the folks that he never courted any of his wives, and instead some of them approached him about becoming his wife. But he's not married to them, so he shouldn't get charged with polygamy. Now, I just want to get this straight. After you're at, like, wife 20, and 21 comes up, and she's like, you know what? I think I want to be your wife. Like, at what point do you stop? He's at 27, mind you, but I'm just thinking, what were they thinking? What, did you have to have three? Did you have to be in like four or five deep first or 20? When you hit 20, it's just like, I might as well add some more on. 27, 145 kids. I don't, that's just my thought. I just kind
that's
of throwing
crazy.
It out there.
Wrong, that's okay. Just crazy.
Yeah. I just
how do you
really
even do
know.
That? I won't go into any details, but I'm like, how? I don't even understand. I don't even understand it. 145
yeah,
first
I'm having a hard
kids,
time with that.
Did he have somebody else helping?
I don't know. I mean, I didn't go into the story too much to find out, like, what are the details of this? But I did read enough of it just to say that he is advocating for them not to approve polygamy laws. Like, he's advocating saying you don't need those. And I'm thinking 145 kids, that guy is not wealthy, but 145 kids. I don't know. Huh?
I don't get it. They must have a wide, wide range of ages.
They 145 kids. I don't know what the state can do with 145 kids either. 145 kids?
I don't know. But I know that man must be tired.
To say the least, good Lord.
Does he go to work?
I just want to say this for the record. Wife about 15 to 27, it's gravy for them. He ain't got to do jack because technically he tired. I don't even talk to him really. I'm just guessing. Now, a veterinarian technician, 23, was sentenced to 4 months in jail after her pit bull strangled itself to death. I'm trying to free itself from the 94 degree heat. So the Alabama woman, 23, was sentenced to 125 days in jail because she caused the death of a 3-month-old pit bull. Police are killing people and they get off, but this woman.
I wasn't gonna say it.
I was. We at the end of the show. It's time to. We just have to say it.
Putting social workers in jail for nothing.
Right.
But you better not hurt a dog.
Yeah, you can't do that. It was a puppy. Yeah, and it was hot outside. You know, I don't know what to say. Yeah. Oh, you know, and a gambler ran out of money in West Virginia in a casino. He robbed a bank and then went back into the casino to try to bet the money and got arrested. Thank you very much. He continued to play blackjack. He really thought he could win. That's his problem. I want to share that. You know, you think the tables are hot. That's all that is.
All right. That's all that
on
is.
That note, what'd you say?
That's all that is.
That's all it is. The tables are hot. Make it to your local casino. You can win. All right. All right, we'll see you again next week. All right.